In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If our sympathies and our feelings are with Christ, if we long for the highest things, the things that are eternal, the things that make us human, because it is not the things of the world that make us human. It is our longing for the things that are highest that makes us human. And this is true in almost every path that we may travel in life. It is our longing for that which is eternal and of permanent and ultimate value that lifts us up and makes us human beings. And if we read the gospel with this longing for what is highest, with this love of God, because that's always what our longing for what is ultimate and highest and eternal really is, it is our longing for God. And if we read the gospels and hear them with that longing in our hearts, then we don't miss the dramatic contrast between Jesus himself and the way he understands the people and the world around him. The standard always is that of our ultimate divinized human nature. In his case, it is natural to him to be both fully man and God. He is divine, and in him our humanity is divine. It's not even made divine. For us, it's made divine because we come to him and we have to be changed. But in his case, as Theophylact would emphasize, the flesh that he has is the flesh of God himself. He entered into this world by way of the womb of a woman, and in her body he took human flesh onto himself. The flesh of her body became his flesh, the flesh of his own body, the body of Jesus the Christ, the one who is fully God. And so in him we see the one who is the highest in every possible way when it comes to our humanity. And if it is for us to be human beings, if it means to reach beyond ourselves and to the highest and to the eternal, to that which cannot end, there is that aspect of our humanity that makes us human when we do that. In him, all of that is fulfilled in the sense that is fulfilled for us, our past, moving toward him, toward fulfillment. But in him, it's not a fulfillment, it's simply who he is. He is the one who is fully God and fully man at the same time. He is all that we long to unite ourselves to. If we read the gospel in that spirit of our ultimate God-loving humanity, then we can't miss the contrast between Jesus Christ on the one hand and the many that he speaks to on the other hand that are bowed down to the world, that are completely immersed in the life of this world, whose humanity has been buried inside of a material weight that pulls them down and keeps them from being able to long for the fullness of our humanity, fulfilled as it is in Christ himself standing there before them. There is always that contrast. Jesus makes an effort to appeal to the humanity, to the God-loving humanity of those that he deals with. And many times, there is no response at all. There is an example of that here in the case that we have where Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. People gathered into the synagogue and he is teaching them there. That's what the word synagogue means, to assemble, to gather. You assemble and you gather on this Sabbath day to cease from the work that has come to us because of our having fallen away from oneness with God, because of the sin of having turned away from the life of God himself toward the world. The consequences are that we have to toil in the world in order to make our own living. And none of us are happy about it. Sometimes we can become more happy about it by turning ourselves over to a kind of pride, where we use the world to build things up. But all of us are not happy about the fact that we need to toil in the world in order to make our living. The 6 days of the week are devoted to toiling in the world. And then the seventh day, the Sabbath day, that is the holy day when work and toiling in the world needs to stop, and the people of Israel gather together to worship God, to glorify Him, and to cease from that labor. And Jesus is teaching them there in the synagogue on that day. And He sees this woman who is bowed over, bent over, and sometimes you see people whose backs have bent down to the point that they're just half their height and they cannot stand up. And this is the case with this woman. And Jesus has compassion on her and calls her to Him and places His divine hand. Remember, this is the hand of God. It's not the hand of a human being that God has sent His Holy Spirit into. It is the hand of the one who entered into the body of the woman that gave Him birth, Mary, and there took flesh on Himself. And that flesh became the flesh of this unique person who is at the same time fully God and fully man. He lays His hand on this woman and tells her that she is released from her infirmity. I release you from this infirmity, He says. And she is able to stand up and to go and to live in the world, not bent down, always looking at low things and at the ground, but able to see the beauty of God's world, the glory of the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars that she has not been able to see. They've been there, but she hasn't been able to see them. And the response of those in the assembly is terrible. They say there are 6 days during the week to do work on the Sabbath. You ought not to have done this work. It's an incredible thing to have said. A healing, is that labor in the world? Isn't it something different? Isn't it an exception to the most incredible degree? And Jesus asks them a question. First, He accuses them. He says, "You hypocrites. On the Sabbath day, you take your oxen and you lead them to water. You take your animals and you lead them to water. You have compassion on them, as I have had compassion on this woman. How then is it that a woman, a daughter of Abraham, ought not to be freed from this infirmity on the Sabbath day?" And according to St. John Chrysostom in the Gospel, according to Mark, the evangelist Mark makes a point. When Jesus would perform a miracle, His eyes would scan those who were there, as if, Mark says, He could convert them by His eye alone. Imagine Jesus, the Christ, the one who is fully God and fully man, scans across all of those people who are present, and none respond. None respond to His appeal, not just to compassion, but to this action of lifting a woman up so that she can see the heavens. All of them equate what He has done with the labor that is done during the 6 days that should be fasted from on the seventh day. They are completely bound to the world. They are in the same kind of spiritual condition as the woman was in physically, when she was only able to look down, only able to see the immediate necessity of taking the next step, doing the next thing that needed to be done, the labor of living in the world. And that's how these men are. They are bent down in soul, bent down in spirit, to the things of the world, unable to lift themselves up and long to be what a human being is when they love God, longing for that lost unity with God, That's what makes us human. And none of them respond. Mark says they are beyond healing because their religion is only something that they put as a kind of period at the end of a week that is completely devoted to a life that has nothing to do with loving God. Making a living, probably resenting the fact that it's necessary to work to make a living, a kind of bitter disposition, we can hear in this kind of what Theophylact calls an insane argument that you ought not to heal on the Sabbath day because it's work. Everything is work, 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 and then on this one day, you don't work. That day is, for these kinds of people, more of a contrast to work. It's work, and then there's the opposite of work, not doing any work. And so even the Sabbath day is defined by them as a non-work day. So labor in the world defines their whole lives, you see, including the Sabbath. Now, this is not a traditionally Judaic way of understanding the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the day of light. The Sabbath is the day of glory. The Sabbath is the day of life. It's filled with everything that has to do with what Jesus has done by, in his compassion, raising this woman up so that she can see the world of God's creation. So there is something more going on here than just they're trying to adhere to the law. They're not being good Jews. They're not being good Hebrews. There is the influence of a kind of craziness here. There is the influence of the enemy of God here. They're living lives that are turned away from him. And so the enemy of God, Satan himself, the one who sought to make himself exactly the kind of thing that we are tempted to try to use the world to make ourselves when we ignore God and yet want to control and dominate our own lives and the world and lose sight of our love of all that is good and true and beautiful and high and God himself. That way of life, that way is the way of life of Satan himself. Now, I can hear people respond, and we're trying to pull ourselves out of our love of the world and convert our minds and hearts as we consider these things. And someone could say to me when I've said this, you mean you're saying I'm Satan? The way I live is I'm satanic. What are you trying to say? I'm possessed or something? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there is a way of life that we live when we are not thinking of God, when we are thinking of ourselves and the world and the necessity to do all of the things that we do, and we do them resentfully a lot of times. And that way of life is the same way of life and has in it as its spiritual character the quality of life that is the same as the quality of life of the one who rebelled against God and wants to be himself without him. There is a similarity, a sameness of the way the world is seen, the way the world is understood. There is a kind of characteristic, just kind of passing off any effort to pull someone up, to let them see, remind yourself of the glorious things that life is filled with. The love of others, the beauty of the world around us, the beauty that human beings are able to create, the wonder of being able to love another human being and see into their heart and soul and hear a response, an echo from that person in their love of you. This is what life is about. It's not about toil and labor and resentment because all of this is necessary. All of that can be transformed. And that has everything to do with the life that Jesus Christ is raising this woman up so that she can share along with him. He raises her up so that she can live life as a human being is meant to live life. Upright, moving forward, being able to experience life fully. The Blessed Theophylact says that whenever we see one of these miracles in the gospel, we should remember that it is about the inner person. It's not just a physical healing. Now, we live in a culture, we live in a society where there is a version of Christianity that is convinced that it is the only version of Christianity, and they are in the habit of assuming exactly the opposite of what Theophylact says. A healing is some kind of a miraculous event. The apostles did the same. We should be able to do it today. And they lay their hands on people and they call out, "Heal!" And they believe that the person is healed, and they believe they are doing the same thing that Jesus Christ did. Well, Theophylact would say, you're out of your minds trying to imitate Christ in this kind of a way. What was he doing when he put his hand on this woman? This hand that was the hand of God himself. He wasn't simply healing their body, some kind of a miraculous work. The kind that was condemned by the people in the synagogue who said, "You are not allowed to do work on this day." And they said, "This is just a work, this healing. Just a work like any kind of work during the week, and it is forbidden on the Sabbath." And that puts this healing down on the level of healing our bodies so that we can go out and live a life of labor in the world. You know, the kind of thing that a doctor, a physician, might be able to accomplish, a miraculous physician, that's how they're treating it. It's simply a healing of the body. Theophylact is saying, you have to remember that each one of these healings has to do with the inner person. And he talks about what this healing that this woman has had done to her by Jesus Christ has to do with us. He says that we should do as follows. We should gather ourselves within ourselves, synagogue, do the same thing that the Jews were doing on that Sabbath day. Separate ourselves from the love of the world that we have during the other 6 days of the week. We should gather all of our love of God, center ourselves on our love of Him. We do this whenever we pray. We have to prepare to pray, like the Jews had to come together in the synagogue so that they could pray on the Sabbath day. We need to do that within ourselves. There's something that needs to be done in order to make it possible for us to pray. And it is the putting aside of all of the works in the world that are necessary to do. We're not to be thinking about those or our need for those things of the world when we pray. We collect ourselves, center within ourselves, and forget about those things of the other 6 days of the week. And God will raise us up so that we can praise Him as Christ raised this woman up physically, in body, but also in mind, in heart, in spirit, in soul, so that she could go and live a life along with Him. That's what the Christian life is all about. Cooperation with God, so that our life becomes not just a labor in the world for the necessities, but so that our life becomes the cooperation with God that is possible in every single thing that we do. If we care for others, we cooperate with God and we care for others. If we make something out of the material of this world, we cooperate with God in order to do that. If we are involved with others, we cooperate with God in order to be able to do those actions that are necessary for our life in the world. Christ has raised us up and made it possible for us to live that kind of life. That's what it's all about. And so when we hear these miracles, we should apply them to ourselves and realize that we need this kind of healing as well. Theophylact says that we need not just the healing that comes from learning and from reading, we also need to have some change that takes place in ourselves. Without the kind of healing that is performed on this particular day in the synagogue, we are not going to be able to pray to God. We're going to come to pray to Him and we're going to be filled with the things of the world. We have to have those things all set aside. This healing is done on the Sabbath in the synagogue, Theophylact is saying, for a particular reason. This is the kind of healing that is done in a place where all of the things of the world have been pushed aside. It is about the inner person. We have to be able to stand up and raise ourselves up to God in order for us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.